Well, we've had a wonderful demonstration already of the theme for today. I hardly need to say any more, but anyway, let's begin. The theme today is response to God's call. And you might say the fact that I'm standing here dressed like this is living proof of that. But as we heard earlier, what we're talking about is not the call to ordained ministry, but it might be for some of you, of course, so don't forget that, it might be. But what we're talking generally about is the call that God has for each of us, wherever we are in our lives, and most importantly, the response we make to his call. So what do we mean by the word call, and does it have to be dramatic? Well, for some, like St. Paul, it was. And here he is in this painting on the Damascus Road, being stopped in his tracks by a blinding light from God. It's easy to forget just how zealously he persecuted Christians before he met Jesus that day. His life was turned around, but before that, he'd been uttering murderous threats, we hear in the Gospels. He was approving of Stephen being stoned to death. He couldn't hear the truth because he was so fixed on what he decided was right. I don't suppose Paul ever forgot that part of his story. He must have been deeply ashamed of his previous behaviour. But with God, no one is beyond the pale. And sometimes he calls the most unlikely of people. Just think of the 12 disciples. And maybe it's because of Paul's personal experience, his realisation that he'd got it wrong, and yet he was given another chance, that Paul was energised to spend the rest of his life telling people about Jesus. Because for him, his call to ministry was to pass on the truth of the gospel, rather like these runners here passing on the baton. The truth that Jesus lived, died for our sins, then came back to life again, and hundreds of people were eyewitnesses to that. And he met Jesus later, after Jesus had ascended to heaven. That's what he meant by saying, as one abnormally born, when he wrote his letters to the Corinthians. But what he based his whole life on, what he gave his life to, was that knowledge, that absolute truth, that Jesus existed, he was alive, he had died for his sins, for Paul's own personal sins, and he wanted to share it. He wanted to tell other people all about it. What he had received, he wanted to pass on to others. Now, as you know, there were struggles along the way, but he never forgot that memory of meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road, of being blinded by the light of that experience for 3 days, being totally dependent on other people. Can you imagine that? I think he was someone who liked to be in control. He was a very capable man, but for 3 days he had to rely totally on other people as he came to terms with meeting God and being given a new job to do. And that kept him on track for the rest of his life. Now, I know that there are people here who've had an experience like that, and the whole direction of their life has changed since they met with God, they became Christians. And for some people, it's not until their 50s that they've become Christians, and their lives have been completely changed. But we're not all like St. Paul. You know, some of us have a very sudden change of direction when we receive a call of God. Some of us, it's a more gradual thing. We hear God in quieter ways. It's more like a tug at the heart. It's just a sense that there's something more in life. There's something more that God wants us to move into. And we need to just stop being so busy to pay attention and to hear it, to open ourselves up to God in prayer and worship, maybe to talk with some trusted friends about what's really important in life and what God might be saying to us. Sometimes it needs someone else to say to us, "Do you know, you're really good at this?" Or have you ever thought that God might be calling you to serve others using this gift? And it might be something new and unexpected, something we hadn't realised until somebody else tells us. And there are lots of ways in which we're called to serve because we all have different gifts. Now, some of us are called to stand up front and speak. And I tell you, some of us didn't think we'd be in this place a few years ago, but here we are. Some of us are called to lead the children's work. They might not have thought they had that within them in the past, but here they are doing it now, and they're discovering that they're really good at it, and it's much appreciated. There are two groups of people I'm involved with at the moment who have also been using their gifts, and they've felt a sense of call, and they wanted to give something to others. That's the Creative Stories group on Thursday mornings. That's some people who want to offer something to help other mothers and parents and children who enjoy creative things, enjoy storytelling, want to come together in church and do some things together. Children for the ages of 3 to 5. And it's happened because somebody has responded to a call, a sense that, well, maybe I could offer this, I could do this. And the Pamper Evening that Phil mentioned earlier, that's happening because there's a group of people, some of them here today, who thought this would be something really nice to offer other people, other women and girls, and make a nice evening for them to come to. We've got skills to offer, let's do it, and let's do it in this beautiful church, in the environment here, some nice music, and make something nice for people to come to. I know that many years ago, John and Pauline had this vision of the coffee shop to be a community space. So here we are on Friday mornings and Saturday mornings in term time, providing a wonderful, hospitable space with good coffee, homemade cake, lovely place for anybody in the community to come to. Don't have to be churchgoers, it's for everybody. And this is serving the community. So there's lots of ways in which we can offer who we are, the gifts that we have, and offer them to serve others. Because serving others is what ministry means. So we're all ministers. As you know, today is the third in a series on vocation. And we heard earlier that word means calling. Gordon Day started it off the middle of May, a few weeks ago, with a look at every member ministry. We all need to be involved, playing our part for the body of Christ to be healthy. And do you remember he used the analogy of the football stadium? 22 people running around, doing a lot of exercise, getting exhausted, and about 22,000 watching and who need the exercise. And he talked about how we need more people out on the pitch, sharing their gifts and getting involved. And last week, Phil preached on identifying the gifts. That's a really important area. And we explored that further in our home groups this week, those of us who come to home groups, how we can help each other to discover what our gifts are. Were there any surprises? Yeah, there were. There were one or two people who heard what others thought they were gifted at, and they had no idea, and they wouldn't have known unless we'd said. So it's always a good thing to tell other people what they're good at. As well as affirming them, it might open up an opportunity for them to think, oh, well, maybe I could use that to serve other people. But it is really important that we do something about it, that we all get involved in serving and using our gifts, because when we do, that's when we grow as Christians. Now, I'm going to use a personal example here. As some of you know, I spent a long time working in medicine. But when I went to university, I didn't go to study medicine because I hadn't thought about it. And people from my background and my sort of school didn't aspire to that sort of job. But when I went to university, I had a fresh encounter with God, and I received a really strong sense of calling to study medicine. And that involved the discernment of other people, people saying things about they thought I'd be good at it, and God unexpectedly opening doors so that I could actually change my degree course. And at that time, my primary calling, the calling that God had for me to do most of my time, was to work in medicine and to be the very best doctor that I could in the way that I related to people. But does our vocation last for our whole life? Not necessarily. Things can change. And quite a few years later, I was called to let go of that vocation, which I loved so much, for the sake of my family. And that letting go opened up all sorts of other things, all sorts of areas for me to grow as a person and to move into new ways of serving God in the community, in the schools, in the church I went to at the time, in all sorts of ways. And of course, most recently, he called me to ordained ministry and he called me to come here. So vocation changes as we go through life and as new gifts develop. And we need to keep listening to God. Now here comes the most important point. At each stage, we have to say yes to God. Now, who knows this sculpture? Has anybody seen this for real, or do you know where it is? Anybody know it? It's down south, that's a clue. It's in Ely Cathedral, and it's called Mary Says Yes. And this is a sculpture showing Mary saying yes to God when she was asked to be the mother of Jesus. Can you imagine what would have happened if she hadn't said yes? The whole of Christian history would be different. I'm sure God would have chosen someone else instead. But actually, she was the very best person. She was the person that God called. And she approached God with open hands, like she does in this sculpture, just holding her hands up, open, saying, yes, I accept that. I will do as you say. And the reason why I put this up, as well as the title of it, is it's really significant for me. Because when I went to the selection conference to see for my vocation to be tested by the Church of England, was I called to ordain ministry, it was down in Ely. And in between the interviews, we could go into church, and I spent a lot of time with this sculpture thinking about saying yes to God. Now let's turn to our gospel reading and the call of Zacchaeus. On the surface, he was successful. He was the chief tax collector, very wealthy indeed. He had everything. He prioritised making lots of money, ripping off his fellow Jews, extracting taxes for the Romans, and taking a cut for himself. He'd put money before people, even though it probably made him very unhappy and a bit lonely, because nobody wanted to associate with him. I suspect that it wasn't just his short stature that made it difficult for him to see Jesus on that day when Jesus came into Jericho. I think the crowd would have elbowed him out of the way because of what he'd done to them. But Zacchaeus knew deep within that something was wrong. There had to be more to life, and he wanted to see who Jesus was. Perhaps he'd heard that Jesus accepted the misfits like himself, those who were shunned by everyone else. So he climbed the tree. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and amazingly, Jesus was really keen to see him. He wanted to spend time with him and stay at his house. Now, if I said to you today, I'd like to come stay at your house, especially if I didn't know you very well, you'd be a bit taken aback, wouldn't you? It would require a lot of generosity and acceptance on your part to invite me to come and stay with you. But in that time, in Zacchaeus' time, for someone to say they want to come and stay in your house and spend time with you was a very, very accepting, hospitable thing to do. Because Jesus saw through to the human being that Zacchaeus was, and he saw his potential, and he valued getting to know him, spending time with him. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Zacchaeus to have felt shunned and then accepted by someone that everyone else wanted to be with? And for that person to make it quite clear that they weren't embarrassed to be seen with you. Because a lot of people made comment afterwards, didn't they? They said to Jesus, you shouldn't be associating with people like him. But Jesus didn't worry about that, because he knew there was potential in Zacchaeus, and he knew that he wanted to follow Jesus. And as we heard in the reading, Zacchaeus responded immediately. He came down from that tree immediately. He was joyful. He went to the house and got ready, and with huge generosity, he offered hospitality. It flowed from the forgiveness that he'd received and the acceptance he'd received. And he refunded far more than was legally necessary to those he cheated. He let go of his old way and he made a fresh start. For that to happen, both Jesus and Zacchaeus needed to say yes, and that required courage on both sides and not worrying about what people thought. And Zacchaeus received freedom from a toxic way of life and restoration as a child of God. And that must have given Jesus great joy, because that's what he came into the world to do. Now, St. Paul was another one who said yes, and we heard a bit about his story at the beginning. He turned away from his previous way of life, and he poured himself out in sacrificial ministry, growing the church, telling people about Jesus. He gave everything. But for him, as it must be for us, his relationship with Jesus was more important than what he did for Jesus. And actually, that's a real challenge for us today. It's a real challenge for us in church when there's so much to be done. We can spend a lot of time being busy for God and not actually sitting and receiving. And I know that as a past church warden. I'm sure our wardens here know that. You know, sometimes you can be really busy in services, making sure everything's going well and that the people have turned up to do things, that it can be quite hard to worship for yourself. But actually, we all need to worship God and to receive from him to grow our spiritual life. Otherwise, we'll run dry and we'll have nothing to offer. So what might God be calling us to do? Now, this is a slide of some street children in Guatemala. Does anybody know the connection we have in this church with somebody who works in Guatemala? Anybody know? I think some of you have met her. Yeah? She's called Azaria Spencer, that's right. And you will have met her, and we support her. She's one of our missionaries, and we give money to support her work. She works in Guatemala in a very, very poor part. She's responded to the call to work amongst poor and destitute street children. She's a young woman. She could have done anything with her life, but she's chosen to respond to God's call to go and work with these children. Now, they do look really happy in this picture. These are street children, but I think probably after they've had a really good day out on one of the projects that Azaria works on. But they don't always look like this. Life for them has its shadow side and its tears. It's tough. And working amongst them, trying to help them, that's really tough too. Azaria wrote a letter for us, a prayer letter this week. Some of you might have seen it. And she wrote about her experiences and that she sometimes questions, why me? What am I here for here in Guatemala? What is it for? Is it all worth it? And then she wrote recently, I think this week, about an experience she had with God. She was on the balcony of her house looking out at the view at the volcano erupting on the horizon, which you've heard about in the news. And she writes, all of my doubts and fears were quieted in this moment, and God reminded me of his presence and his deep love, his calling on my life and his desire to bless his children. My why became, because I called you. My what for became, all for my glory. And my will it be worth it became, yes, I am worth it, and so are you, my child. I love you. So how can we apply all this to our lives? Now, there's a combination picture up here to remind us of the sort of things that we need to be thinking about. That first one of the passing on the baton, the runners taking up the challenge that God may be giving us. And the second one, Mary says yes, that we need to say yes to God's call. And we need to be ready to listen for what that is and to help each other hear what God might be calling us to. And the third one is, some of you have seen this, is a picture of my daughter just about to abseil off Malham Cove. This is before she did it. She's looking really happy. She was actually really scared. First time she'd done anything like that. But she trusted how the ropes had been rigged up, and she wanted to do it because she knew that being stretched would be a really good experience for her. And she really enjoyed it, and it boosted her confidence, and she's gone on to do more difficult things because she managed that. And sometimes we need to overcome our fears and our lack of confidence and our feeling that, well, there are other people better at these things out there, and I couldn't possibly do that. We need to overcome that to give something a try. And then we discover that we can do it, and it leads on to more things that really enrich our lives. So we might need courage to move on, to let go of what we used to do, to let go of the things we are fearful of. It might mean letting go of our professional ambition, of the opportunity to earn as much money as possible, like Azaria. It might mean just letting go of the freedom to do as we please. It might mean spending a bit of time in here on lovely sunny afternoons, offering craft activities and opportunities for children at Messy Church, for instance. The last three Saturday afternoons have been beautifully sunny, but some of us have been in here offering Messy Church because we know it's worth it. People really enjoy it. It might mean being in here when we might be wanting to play sports instead, but we've decided, no, we're going to be a bit more committed. Certainly the IT team, there's somebody here every week making sure that these words are up on the screen. And, you know, that wouldn't happen unless they offered their gifts. Now, just to finish, on your notice sheet, and I hope there are enough copies for you all to have a notice sheet to take home, there are lots of really good questions, helpful notes about the theme for today, and some good questions to think about. Factors that might restrict us from saying yes to God, like, as we were hearing earlier, the call of Moses, that low self-esteem, that lack of confidence, the, I can't do this, I'm not very good at this, and actually, God, please send somebody else. But, you know, we need to rise to the challenge. We need to step out into what God is calling us to do. There's some questions about how can we help each other be released from those things that make us fearful from trying something. How can we tell each other, affirm each other, tell each other what we're good at? And how can we build Christian communities that enable people to flourish in new forms of ministry? Loads to think about. And I really would encourage you to have a read of that, have a think about it, and then talk to someone. That might mean talking to Phil or myself or John and Pauline, somebody that you trust. Have a talk. Now, what do you think God might be calling me to do? Try something new, perhaps. It might also mean God's calling you to let go of something that you have been doing for a long time. But let's be listening and praying and responding to God's call. Amen.